I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we're very happy to welcome to our studios a Duluth native. I guess we can call you that, David, because you were born here, right?
It's true.
David Dundero, who was born here in Duluth, lived here for the first few years of your life before moving on, it sounds like.
Yeah, until I was seven.
Okay.
We lived on 1424 East 4th Street.
Wow.
Is where we lived.
Do you still remember the phone number?
No. I remember the front porch, and I remember rolling my Evel Knievel motorcycle off the front porch, and it went into the street and got smashed by a truck.
Oh, that must have been
distinctly remember that.
Sad moment.
But Evel Knievel, he came out just with some scrapes, and I kept him, but the motorcycle was gone.
Mm, a shame. Well, David played last night at Beaner Central in Duluth, and you tend to do that. You come back to Duluth almost every year, it seems like.
Yeah, I like to come back during this time of year. I think is probably my favorite. I love the beauty of the snow and the ice.
I was wondering about that because I thought, you know, if you've spent some time in Duluth, you know how beautiful it is in the summer, but you choose the winter.
Yeah, it's a distinctively unique place, especially in winter. Maybe it conjures up memories of my youth a little more. You know, when I come in winter, I just remember being all bundled up in a snowsuit and walking to grade school, you know, mm-hmm. or preschool. Not grade school, I was in preschool, but at the time. Just kind of remember those snowy moments,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And so you played last night at Beaner's, and I was at the show, really enjoyed that. And then tonight, I should say, you're down in the Twin Cities.
Down in Minneapolis mm-hmm. at the Warming Room, which I think is a house. I'm not sure yet. I never played there, but find out.
Okay. Well, why don't you get started with the song, and then we'll come back and chat. You have a new album out, and you have a new recent EP as well, I think, some older stuff, right?
I do,
that
yeah.
That we can talk about. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you want to start with?
Well, I guess I'll start with Bacon, Eggs, and Beer. Bacon, eggs, and beer. You know my baby's here. Got everything I need out of life. Everything I need out of life. Got a garden out back and it's chock full of leafy green. A ritual attack on a sadness, it haunts my dream. My dream. My dream. Bacon, eggs, and beer. You know the coast got clear. The clouds had paddled out to sea, a lee behind tranquility. Got a room full of records that you left behind when you died. A thousand golden platters and my ears, they're open wide, wide. Bacon, eggs, and wine. The Grand Canyon is mine. I came in with the snow in the night. Awoke into it draped in white. But it won't be long before it melts away with the dawn. It won't be long before it fades with the words of the song.
That's David Dundero live from Studio A and one from his new album. I have it on vinyl here. I'm holding up the big vinyl. Inside the Cat's Eye. And that one's available on your Bandcamp right now.
It is digitally on the Bandcamp. And then you can buy the vinyl at KoshkaRecords.com, a small label out of Corvallis, Oregon.
But, okay. Yeah. And in that particular tune you talk about, it's one, so from reading about you, one thing I read is that you've been on the move a lot in your life, and you've lived a lot of different places. You do a lot of touring, spend a lot of time on the road. So when you mentioned a garden in that song, I'm like, have you had time to settle in a place and have a garden at some point in your life?
Yeah, actually, you know, I was working in Mendocino County, California, at a marijuana farm, and we had a fantastic garden, chock full of leafy green.
I like that.
And
okay.
Also a diversity of other plants and mm-hmm. fruit trees. And the reason for the title of that song, Bacon, Eggs, and Beer, is the only thing I would need from the store is bacon, eggs, and beer. So I'd go get the bacon, eggs, and beer, and everything else was there mm. at the farm. It was a little slice of paradise in Northern California.
And how long were you there for?
I worked, my job on the farm is doing carpentry. I'm a carpenter. Mm. And I was there on and off for about a year and a half.
Nice.
But I may someday go back, but it was a beautiful place, just very far removed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Northern California can be very desolate in certain areas.
Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is legal in California, so that's after the legalization.
Yeah, it should be legal everywhere, in my opinion.
Right, yeah.
It really is much better than pharmaceutical relief, you mm-hmm. know, from any forms of pain, and, you know, CBDs, cannabinoids, ointments, tinctures. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's much more helpful and non-addictive. You know?
So what is and you've done that a lot during your career. You've, you know, kind of worked at different places and gotten experience and... tell me about what is it like working on a marijuana farm? Like, what are the kind of daily tasks that you had to do?
There's a lot of labor involved in working on a marijuana farm. I mean, to tend to plants to make high quality marijuana is a lot of maintenance and everyday checking for mold and parasites and, you know, watering, making sure everything's on the up and up, weeding. But, mm-hmm. you know, I did that part of the time, but like I said, most of my function on that farm was doing carpentry combined with helping with the plants, mm-hmm. with the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a fascinating place to hang out, or a nice place to hang out anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and all these things, the experiences that you've had kind of make their way into your music. And, you know, for some musicians, if that's all they do, it seems like their songs just become about being a musician, and some of your songs are about that. But mm-hmm. it seems like you have all these other experiences that you kind of bring into it, which I think is an interesting thing about your work.
Well, I do. I like to work. You know, work kind of keeps me on the level, you know, with my sanity. I love to do carpentry work and labor work with my hands, and I think it's very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's good to kind of combine the two. Lately, I've been living kind of half the time I work, you know, about 3 weeks, do a carpentry project, then go out and once that's finished, go and do like 2.5-3 weeks on the road and mm-hmm. try to get the best of both worlds, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so where are you based these days?
Currently, I'm based in Virginia.
Okay.
Rural, kind of about 45 miles outside of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
kind of near the Shenandoah Valley.
Mm. And so at your show last night, you kind of did a tour through your catalog. Like you did one song from each of your albums, right? Which was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's more interesting because I put out 9 of them, and
so you can do a whole set.
So
that
I like to draw because I have a very kind of minimal fan base, and it's usually very intimate shows that I do. You know, 10 to 15 people or so, and you know, it's like nice to draw from each record, you know, because the few fans that I do have are usually know most of my material, so I try to pull one song off of each of the 9 records. And but then every night is different because I have a set list, you know, like 3 different songs off each record, and then pull the favorite one of the day off the little block of songs from that record, and, you know, and just mix it up. For me is more interesting too, and you go through the chronology of songs, and it's easier to kind of have a more continuous linear story,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. So kind of whichever one feels the best to you at that particular show.
Exactly.
You decide to do.
Or you can go in reverse chronological order. Or just like get sick of that and then just play like some covers. And
let's talk about the new album. And this is 9th or 10th of...
That's the 9th all original songs. I put out a few other records with like some covered music and random originals and, you know, things. But that's the ninth all original record.
So where did you record this one? And
you know, it was recorded inside the Cat's Eye studio in Austin, Texas. That's why it's called Inside the Cat's
Eye.
And the cat on the front is a cat that would greet me. And I got sober last year, and I went down to Mexico City to shake myself out of my own head and get lost in that sea of humanity. And it worked, you know. And I went down there for a month, kind of traveled around the country of Mexico by bus, and ended up in Acapulco. And that cat on the cover was the one that greeted me every morning. And I just thought it was a striking cat. It would never let me touch him, but he seemed to be guarding a shrine to the missing 43, the kids that were killed in Guerrero. And they had pictures of them all hung up above this cat, which would come out. And it seemed like the cat was trying to draw light, shine light to the fact that this is still a mystery. What happened to these kids?
And, you know, and they were some students that were kidnapped and disappeared.
They were killed, yeah, apparently by the police in Guerrero.
And people are
covered up.
Seeking justice.
And trying to find justice for it, yeah. And they still haven't solved exactly what's happened. You know.
There's a musician in Minnesota named Todd Clouser who's played in Duluth a couple times, and he actually has done an album along with John Medeski. About, I think it's called the 44th. It's connected to that, so kind of that made me aware of that to begin with. So very sad thing. And I know last night you mentioned at the show that you know, Acapulco, very violent these days.
It is
not a lot of tourists around when you were there.
It was like a ghost town in a beautiful old tourist town, you know, around this amazing beach. And it was a very tense situation. Like, try to go down to the ocean, and there's guys with machine guns walking up and down the beach, and then there's guys with masks and jeeps, you know, driving around with submachine guns, and made for a kind of a tense vacation experience.
Did you bring your guitar with you on that vacation?
I did. I had one show in Mexico City, and that was really actually pretty fun night at a place called Cine Tonala. They have it's a theater, independent theater that does primarily Latin American films, independent films. But they have shows and a restaurant. It's a nice place if you ever end up down in Mexico City.
Had you been down there before?
Never. Okay. First time.
Yeah. And that's one of the largest cities in the world.
It's amazing and surprisingly easy to get around. They have a really great train system and super cheap. I think it costs about 18 or 20 cents a ride, something like that. It's very similar to the Paris system. I think they have the same trains as they do in Paris, you know, with the rubber wheels on a track.
Oh, okay. You know. And there definitely is something about the anonymity of being in just a huge city.
That was great for me, like I said, trying to get sober and just knocking myself out of my head and get lost in the shuffle of that sea of humanity. It really did put me back in my place, you know, helped me to get straight, and it was good. I was glad to have done it. And I'm going back in March again for a couple weeks.
Oh, nice.
Met some good people down there and visit again. I'm looking forward to it.
So since you decided to get sober, is there something about the music making or song making, writing experience that's improved for you or changed for you?
Absolutely. You know, it used to be like looking forward to getting off stage to get a free drink, you know, or looking forward to getting to the club to get a free drink. And that was the focus of it. Now that it's gotten away from that, it's like looking forward to get to the stage to play the song, you know, and try to really find this connection, you know. And it's been much more gratifying. I'm just really thankful for it, you know. It's helped me. I really enjoy doing it now more, you know.
It's helped you enjoy
the actual
that's great.
Performing. It used to be hard for me, but it's gotten easier.
Like in a stage fright kind of way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that problem. Well, good for you. are there any songs, other songs on the album that were informed by that Mexico experience, just out of curiosity?
not on that album, because that album was recorded before I went down there.
So this has been, you had these songs in the can for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want to do next?
I think I'll do a song called "The The Capitol Buildings Bleed." It's coming full circle. Your own Siddhartha chased your tail for years all around the country. Her ghost is on the train, a vapor in the rain. Faced you, failed you, fear another disappointment. Listen what your mama said, you drive around until you're dead. Gonna go and drive yourself crazy. Scattered is a family, shattered by the tragedy. But why you gotta drive yourself crazy? Pattern of the carpet, the flaking of the paint, sliver of the moon, candle of a saint. The traffic on the beltway, it's dripping through the rainy day. Capitol buildings bleed, doling out the violence. Listen what your mama said, you drive around until you're dead. You're gonna go and drive yourself crazy. Scattered is our family, shattered by the tragedy. But why you gotta drive yourself crazy? Coming full circle, your own Siddhartha chased your tail for years all around the country.
David Dondero live from Studio A, and that was Capitol Buildings Bleed from his latest release, Inside the Cat's Eye. So tell me about that one, writing that one.
That was written on the metro while riding around Washington, D.C. I don't know. I just kind of wrote it down in a little notebook while I was looking out, staring out the window. Sometimes I'll get on the metro and just ride around to the ends of the train lines and space out and stare out the window. It's also somewhat about the scattering of my family, you know. Our family used to be condensed here in Duluth, but I think it all scattered when my grandfather passed and everybody kind of parted ways. You know, he was the hub of the family, and then when he was gone, everybody kind of split, you know, eventually, and slowly went off to different corners of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think of the tragedies and not bringing people together, but making them run away from each other. It's kind of like what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
interesting.
It's kind of a tragedy in itself.
Yeah.
Sad song.
One thing about your music, On the album, it's not just you and your guitar on your albums, most of them. You have, like on this one in particular, you've got a band and you've got some nice production, just really nice arrangements, I think, of the songs. Do you get to play with a band out very often? Do you get to do that?
Sometimes. Like, I guess I'll be playing with a band in Austin. You know, my dream was to take the band, a rock and roll trio out that played on this. They're the core of this new record, Inside the Cat's Eye. But unfortunately, the bass player, John, he took his own life in March. So that kind of took the wind out of that. It actually took the... I waited a while to put this record out in respect to him, and I didn't quite know how to handle it. And it was... When I hear it, I think of him, and it was... It's
imagine
if anybody
that
out there is thinking about that, talk about it with your friends. Talk about it with someone, with a stranger. Just get it out of your head. Don't let it fester inside your brain. Someone will listen. Call us up right now if you're thinking about it. But anyway, it does nothing good for anybody, mm-hmm. especially yourself, if you just shut off that light, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that must have certainly cast a shadow on the album after that.
It definitely did.
And you must have wondered, like, how to present, you know?
I didn't know. I still don't know, and I feel as if it's a little bit in bad taste to even put it out, you know? But I believe in the record, so here it is, you know?
Well, and he did good work on it.
And he did great work.
And he was a legacy in a way, I would
think.
Yeah.
John Windsor was his name. Mm-hmm. He's a great bass player, multi-instrumentalist from Austin, Texas. And mm-hmm. he was a great all-around sound person. And when the man stepped into a room, he lit up the room, you know? Everybody was happier when he came in. You'd never think he had that depression in his brain.
Yeah,
but it did.
Never know.
It was like a festering thing inside him, and I guess it took him over. You know, mm-hmm. that's why you got to talk about it, even if you want to project happiness. Just let it out of you. Get it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, very sorry to hear that. Very sorry to hear that, David. Yeah. Let's hear another tune. What do you want to do next from... Are you going to do something else from Inside the Cat's Eye? Or?
Maybe I should do some... happier song. This is not an anti-dog song, by the way. This is... It's called Not Everybody Loves Your Doggy Like You Do. Not everybody loves your doggy like you do. It's annoying when you're saying, hey, look how cute. I don't think that dog is as smart as you think. I think maybe the doggy is smarter than you. It's true, smarter than you and me. Doubly true. Stand with a baggie full of dog stuff in your hand, and you planned to let him off his leash. Oh, but then he ran. Where'd he go, your fuzzy little friend with a tail that wags? Where'd he go? Guess he's just left you holding the bag. It's true, smarter than you and me, us too. You cried, say please come back. You get a Scooby snack. You tried, but he don't come back, cause he joined a wolf pack. He's gone, he's out running wild, he's howling at the moon. Long gone, broke out of the jail that you called your bedroom. It's true, smarter than you and me. Doubly true. Memories of the time he ate your brand new $1,000 couch. And memories of him licking his ass and then a lick in your mouth. He's good. You had him so trained and well behaved. I remember when he stole the turkey from the table and he ruined the whole day. It's true. We went got Chinese food, it's alright. It's true. Where'd he go? Wonder where he went now. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Wonder where he went now. Where did he go? I miss him.
That definitely is a fun song. What was that one called again?
Not Everybody Loves Your Doggy Like You Do.
And where can that one be found?
That's on a record called Pre-Existing Condition, which you can find that on Bandcamp, mm-hmm. on my Bandcamp.
You have a lot of your stuff on your website and on Bandcamp. You've from earlier material to current times. Another thing that I mentioned earlier, you have an EP out that is called With Love. Tell us about that.
With Love was recorded, my good friend Laura Jane Grace of Against Me recorded it. She used to have a studio down in outside of St. Augustine, and I had ended up in St. Augustine playing a show and ran into her, and she's like, you should come by my studio and record. And it was, I had a batch of songs, and we just kind of recorded them real quick, you know, within one take, and then I took off and then never heard about it. And the studio actually got crushed by a tree in a storm, and she moved all her stuff out of there, took it up to Michigan, and forgot about it. And then until last year, we did a little stretch of shows together, and she's like, oh, I found those recordings, and I want to put it out. And it actually turned out pretty good, and she put it out on a 10-inch vinyl record and on her label, which is Against Me's label, Total Treble, and very thankful for that. So I have those with me on my route this time.
Nice. And yeah. You had done other versions of those songs on your last album, This Guitar,
ended,
right?
Yeah, This Guitar. They ended up, those exact songs ended up on This Guitar with a lot more instrumentation, you know.
But you kind of liked the original stripped down.
I did. I liked the original versions with the lyrics, and some of the lyrics had changed over the time there, mm-hmm. between that original recording and going back into the studio with the band.
Mm-hmm. I kind of noticed that last night. You kind of update lyrics sometimes, yeah. as you go along. Do a lot of songs change as you perform them through the years? Or
they do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you kind of, it seems like you kind of tailor them to that audience or that place that you're at that time.
Yeah, I try to keep it right, fresh in the moment there a lot of times with mm-hmm. the audience. Exactly, tailoring to the vibe of the room.
And you're not afraid to call people out if they're, you know, on their phone or in a funny way. Yes.
It's important,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. And definitely a storyteller when you're on stage, too, which I think is always a lot of fun. So talking again about that difference between doing, you know, recording things solo and then doing them with a band. And do you enjoy the studio process? Because, like I said, you have some really nice arrangements in what you do. Do you put a lot of thought into that, or do you just let the musicians kind of do their thing? Or do you have something in your head that you're trying to
I do a lot. I have the structure of the songs all in place, you know, but I'll have gaps in the, you know, for a musical part. A lot of times a musical part would be improvised by the musician there. Like, I don't tell them exactly the melody to play during that little gap of mm-hmm. of improvisation, but the songs are mostly written going in, but then they have a little bit of looseness to add instrumentation, you know.
And I'm just peeking to look for production credits on there. Do you tend work with different producers on your albums, or
I've stuck primarily with Mike Vasquez from Sweatbox, you know, through the years, but then. You know, lately Doug Walzeth in Austin. Mike's moved on to Oregon. He still does some production work, but he's more of a he's kind of switched professions. But the last two records, I work with Doug, and I work with a guy named Bill Corsello out of New Jersey, and you know, I mix it up a little. Mm-hmm. But I feel comfortable with Doug now, mm-hmm. you know, so I'll probably go back to him for another one. And I like the tape sound. He's got a 1-inch 8-track, and it's just real simple setup, good microphones and good vibe in the studio, and you know, just pretty much recorded everything live, you know, even the vocal. You know, there's a very very sparse overdubs, you know, with a little piano and pedal steel, but that's about it. Everything else was live in the studio.
Mm. The pedal steel on this is really nice. I'm always a fan of that, so I don't remember how many songs it was on, but
yeah.
It adds just a nice texture to
Yeah, I like the he's a firm believer in the older methods of production, where it's more about placement of mics and establishing a vibe in the room and having a solid live performance, you know, mm-hmm. and getting that down mm-hmm. and even, you know, which I believe too. I think best for the song, you know,
as opposed to studio tricks.
Yeah.
Well,
which I've tried in the past, studio tricks.
Really?
You know, I've done records like that too mm-hmm. early on a couple times, and I prefer this method over that, you know.
Well, and for what you do, it seems like the songs need to be able to stand on their own anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't really matter what studio tricks you throw at it. You're still going to be bringing it to life.
It's true.
On stage. So it's got to have that core. Well, thank you so much, David. I just have really enjoyed having you here and enjoyed your show last night. So thank you so much for coming on in today.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure.
And I hope you enjoyed your time in snowy Duluth again.
I did. Absolutely. It was great to have it snow like it did.
And if people want to know more and want to hear some of David's music, you can go to daviddondero.com, right?
That's right.
And then here, there's...
daviddonderomusic.com.
Ah, thank you.
Or you can go to daviddondero1 at Bandcamp.
Oh,
that's where
yeah.
all of it is. You can listen to that for free. And
mm-hmm.
if you like it, you can buy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that reminds me... kind of, you know, you've been around for long enough to experience the change to the digital age, and it looks like you found some creative ways to be a musician, be a working musician in this day and age. You know, you've got a, what is that, the Patreon, what is that one called?
Patreon,
thank you.
Yeah, that's been really helpful, because mm-hmm. it's a great way to, it forces me to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because every month I put out a song of the month, or, you know, and I put out a video. I've been making these videos for the songs, and I'm also, you know, I'm kind of working on a book. I wrote a book, but I'm skeptical about. I'm like, oh man. So I put out a chapter of that, and I'm kind of releasing it that way through the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And
for people who don't know, it's kind of a model, sort of like, you know, when there used to be art patrons back in the whatever era of the world it was, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's ongoing fundraising to try to maintain a steady income stream to
mm-hmm.
give a little bit of a stability to what I do, which has been really helpful, you know? It's one of these things, like, you can pay, like, $2 a month, and or if, there's different varying levels, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple of my friends have done it, and it's definitely made life a lot easier, you
mm-hmm.
know? And also... Yeah, digital age it's a little harder. You got to be more creative with what you're doing, or trying to keep afloat. You
mm-hmm.
know.
But as you said, part of that Patreon is that then you promise people, I'm going to put out a song a month that you
song
get
song a month and
so
writing
it's an assignment
videos and
mm-hmm.
you know, and it forces more work out of you, which is good
because mm-hmm.
I could be lazy
mm-hmm.
too. You know, like sitting around watching sports and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much, and really enjoying the album as well, and glad you could stop by, David.
Really thankful. I appreciate it.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.